Good morning again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to beautiful Shiloh Chapel on a Hill. It is so good to have you with us this morning. This is our second Missions Sunday this year. It is not our final Missions Sunday. I want to give you a bit of an introduction. Missions is also connected with the Great Commission. And there is much that could be said about it. I could actually preach an entire sermon or two just on the subject. That's not what I'm doing this morning. We have guest speakers. But I am giving you an introduction to the subject and its importance to us here at Shiloh Chapel. So, let us get into it. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Our commander-in-chief, our Savior, the one who gave his very life for us, the one who came down to earth to show us the way and then paid our way into the kingdom of God, gave us marching orders. These are not optional. This is what we are to do. This is who we are. If we are genuinely following Jesus the Messiah, we will do this in some way, shape, or form at every opportunity we have. Now, I know we all have our good days and our bad days, myself included. But I want you to know that missions is part of the Great Commission. Shiloh Chapel's purpose. This is in our documents. The purpose of Shiloh Chapel is to proclaim the good news that Jesus truly saves. Can I get an amen? Amen. Our desire is for Shiloh Chapel to be a place where all may grow into what? Fully mature Christians. Through what? Relevant Bible preaching and instruction, inspirational worship, and fellowship. This is who we are. This is what we do. We follow Jesus Christ by following his marching orders for us. We are not super Christians. We are ordinary people who love Jesus. I, for instance, for those of you who don't know, am a lifelong career truck driver. I still do it part-time, even though I am the pastor of this lovely bunch of Jesus followers. And I am greatly honored, quite frankly, to be the under-shepherd under the true good shepherd of this flock. Part of our job here, as I've already said, is to follow Jesus. Well, how do we follow Jesus if we don't know where he's going, what he's doing, what his word says? That's all part of who we are. And we'll get to that in a little bit. It is so good to see all these faces here this morning. By the way, before I go on, I shouldn't say proud, I'm not sure that's the right word. We baptized 6 people last week. 6 people. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And I believe next week, we're going to try next week, to present them all with certificates of baptism. And maybe, if we can arrange it quickly enough, a little something else. So if any of you want to see that presentation next week, you're invited. All right, enough of the shameless promotion. Missions Committee, also from our documents. Our Missions Committee, this is from the Shiloh Chapel Constitution. Missions Committee, this committee shall develop and maintain a program of missions education and promotion throughout the church and make a special effort to increase the missionary zeal of the congregation. Speaking of which, before I forget, and we'll put this into the record right here and now, September 10th, Eric Morse, who regularly goes on a mission trip every week and has been doing so, not every week, every year, excuse me, for the last 20-something years, is going to come up and do a little presentation for us. It has to be on the 10th because we try to get these missions Sundays sort of packed into a few months' time, because Eric is going to be getting his foot operated on the very next day. So we need to get him while we can. So, again, everybody with me so far, say amen. I just want to make sure everybody's still awake. Again, from the Constitution, they shall investigate various proposed missions and make recommendations to the congregation on expenditure of mission funds. What does that mean? Shiloh Chapel takes 10% of all the money we take in the offering, and that we don't pass an offering plate. We have a little mailbox out there you put it in, so nobody has to be staring at you when you do it, okay? 10%. And so the missions committee looks at different organizations to whom they can give this money to make sure that they are good organizations that are not wasting the money. And we have a couple of them represented here today. So, Pastor John was supposed to come here this morning. Something came up. He couldn't make it, which is part of the reason why I'm up here blathering on myself. This is quite a mission. Have any of you ever heard of it? Hope Haven Gospel Mission. I'd strongly recommend, if you don't know about it, you look them up, Google them, as it's so easy to do nowadays. Google them. Learn more. A very worthwhile ministry doing God's work. CareNet. We have a speaker from CareNet that is supposed to be here this morning. I do not yet see her, unfortunately. Hopefully she will be here before we get too far into this. In our presence, our very own, the Swede, Steve Granholm, represents Soldiers for Jesus Motorcycle Club. And they, in fact, Steve is going to come up here and give a presentation. And this is a, well, I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm going to let you explain it. Another ministry, a sort of a mission we have here at Shiloh Chapel, Grief Share. This is a national, perhaps even an international organization. This is a workbook, Grief Share. And I am telling you about this because there are a number of people in our membership now who came to become members at Shiloh because they first set foot in Shiloh because of this ministry. A loved one died, and they needed help through the grief journey, and that's what we do. We're going to be starting a brand new session led by this guy. I'll be facilitating. Starting on, I better not get the date wrong, September 11th, the first Monday after Labor Day. And it will be starting at 6:15 in the room right across the hall. We call that the reception room. Now, I just want to mention what happens at Grief Share. In case you know somebody you want to invite, you come and watch a video. And then after we watch the video, we have discussion about what we saw in the video. Do you need to talk about what happened there? No, you don't have to say a thing. You can show up and watch the video, and you can learn about the grief journey. The goal is, and they have it right on the front cover of the workbook, and you don't have to have the workbook either, by the way. You don't have to pay one red cent. You can show up, take whatever you can get from it, and walk away without saying, paying, or doing anything. We are here to serve. That is part of our mission here at Shiloh Chapel. But it says, your journey from mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, to joy, because God, in his grace and mercy, can bring us back from that place of perhaps disabling, very disconcerting mourning to a place of joy again. You can have that. When I get done with my blah blah, Steve is going to come up here and he's going to take over. He's probably going to be a lot better at this than I am. The Tuesday following Labor Day week, the night after Grief Share, also in that room, this book, we're going to be studying Revelation. This workbook, which it is not mandatory that you have it. You can show up, listen. You also don't have to say anything. Learn whatever you like. You don't have to do homework. You show up and learn what you want. Now, you'll get a lot more out of it if you do get the workbook and you do the homework, but you don't have to, okay? You can show up and learn what you want. This is called the Life Change Series. It's by Nav Press. It's available all over the place. The link is in the Shiloh Chapel Study Group. It starts at 6:15 on Tuesday nights. If we have too big of a crowd on Tuesday night for that room, I will happily, enthusiastically, for those who are ready, willing, and able, have a second class that week on Wednesday nights in the very same room. Okay? That does sometimes happen. Happened last year with Grief Share, the first session. We had 19 people in that room. That's pretty full for that little room. Okay? So I want you to know that we're not just going to be using this workbook. This is a balanced workbook, by the way. But we will also be using this called Understanding the Book of Revelation. And it's a chart pointing out historicist, preterist, futurist, and idealist views of Bible prophecy and Revelation. Makes a fair assessment of each one. So, without further ado, I've told you a bit about mission. Steve, you ready? All right. So, I will back out of this for now. Let me back up and put Soldiers for Jesus Motorcycle Club on the screen. Steve Granholm, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
As you can see, a couple of my brothers are with me this morning. Our chapter president is actually... I'm sorry. Okay. Having to hold a mic. Our chapter president is on his way to our USA run out in Colorado. Including some vacation time doing that, so he's not here this morning. But I have Dana, who's been with us for 5 years. He's been a patch holder. And Bob, as we call it, Teach, has been coming in on a year and a half now as a patch holder with Soldiers for Jesus. A little bit about us. Is this really loud? It seems loud to me, so. We are a motorcycle club, which is, as you can... On the back of my patch here, you can see it's three pieces. Has a top rocker, a center patch, and a bottom rocker. And a little MC cube, which is on this side, right? Oh, okay, over here. Yeah. So the MC stands for Motorcycle Club. We were founded in 1990 in Southern California, so we're 33 years old this year. We're an international club. We're about 42 chapters across the country. We have chapters in Mexico, all over Central and South America. I don't remember all the places we're at. We're in South Africa. We're in Belgium, Germany, I believe, and a few other places over in Europe. And that's growing, too. So we have international president and secretary and vice president and that. We have our own national president and officers that run this country. Our mission, our website, this came from our website, which is soldiersforjesusmc.com or .org. Don, which one was it? Com or org? Yeah, well, check one or the other. It'll pop up. Our mission statement's there. It tells a little bit about us. But primarily, Put it in a nutshell, we're self-supporting home missionaries to the local motorcycle club world in our local areas. So like yesterday, the three of us were at an anniversary party at another relatively major club event. We're there, build a relationship with the other men in those clubs. And by doing so, when the stuff hits the fan, they know they can come to us and trust us, and we'll be there. We get to minister to them. Sometimes it's surprising how doors are open. We were able to share with one of the gentlemen there yesterday. He's going through a lot of stuff with his family. His daughter passed away. He's been taking care of his two grandchildren, and the father, who wants nothing to do with them, his parents are trying to take the kids. So he's in court actually tomorrow morning. We had an opportunity to listen to him, let him share his heart. We had an opportunity to go upstairs and pray with him before we left. And we'll be praying for him tomorrow morning at 8:30 as he enters court, that God would be with him and that his will would be done in his life. And through just touching their lives where they're at, they come to understand that Jesus does love them, and we can be that light in their lives. And, you know, so we do what we can, and Jesus does the rest. There are men that are serving the Lord in some of these clubs because we've been there to share the gospel with them. What Shiloh does for us, we go to Laconia for Bike Week every year. We're there for the week, set up a booth where all the other vendors are. And one of the things we do is we hand out these little shop towels with a sticker. This one says, Jesus loves bikers too. And it contains a gospel track. Everybody will take a shop towel. A lot of times you hand out tracks and you go up and down the rows and pick them up an hour later. You pick up 50% of them. You never know. This might get tossed in your saddlebag, be there for years, and then when the chips are down, they actually pull it out and find something in it and read it and find the good news of Jesus. So we gave out 3,000 of these last year, and it's not cheap to do that. And so Shiloh donates to us every year for that purpose, and it really does help us a lot. Both of these other guys go to two different churches, and their churches do the same for us and help us support the expense of that particular mission that we do every year. There's a lot more I could tell you. If you have questions, you know, you can talk to any of us after the service. We'd be glad to share with you. There's only so much I can say on the air. If you have any questions about what we're doing, you know, feel free to talk with us after the service. And that's about all I really need to say. Thank you very much. Oh, this is one of the ones that we actually handed out this year. It says Jesus Loves the Bikers 2, and it's Laconia 2023, 100 years. It's the 100th anniversary of last year. So we're able to say it's a souvenir shop towel, you know, when we hand them out. And most people are willing to take them. If you try to hand out just the sticker, it's funny. You hand out the sticker, says Jesus loves you. Some people will start to reach for it, then they see the name Jesus, and it's like, can't touch that. It's going to burn. It's kind of funny. And others are, you know, it's like, oh, I love your jackets. Those are so nice. You know, it's like, all right, it's not a jacket. It's a vest. We call them a cut. And it got the term cut, just a little bit of history in motorcycle clubs, because originally they were denim jackets they cut the sleeves off of. And that's why they were referred to as cuts, and that's sort of a thing that stuck around in the MC world. We here support the CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association. They do a lot of good stuff too there at Laconia, set up all around the area with all these booths with bike blessing tents, and minister to people that way. One's not better than the other. We're just a little different and a little bit different focus. We have a very specific focus to the clubs. CMA is more a focus to general mom-and-pop motorcycle community, which is a bigger community, so they have a lot bigger target market, target mission. But both good organizations, just a little bit different focus. So there's, we don't compete with them. We're not, you know, better. They're not better than us. We're not better than them. We're just a little different focus. So God called me here for some reason. I don't know why, but he did. So here I am. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Do we have our CareNet lady? Okay. Dawn, if you will, please, before we close out this brief service, I would like to bring up John chapter 8. I have many times spoken of the power of reading the Word of God out loud to each other. And whenever I have the opportunity to do just that, and I'm not talking about preaching a sermon, I do that frequently, as you may have guessed. I'm talking about the power of simply reading God's Word to each other. When I do this, I nearly always bring up the New Living Translation because it is very easy to understand. It is very nearly a paraphrase. It is actually a translation. It's called a dynamic equivalent. And one of the most powerful and my favorite, one of my favorite chapters of the Bible is John chapter 8. So you may follow along with me as I read John chapter 8, the entire chapter, to you. And then we will close in prayer. Unless CareNet lady shows up. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. But early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and he taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Anyone here qualified to throw the first stone? I didn't think so. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. I'd like to know what he was writing. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" Now, mind you, there was still a crowd there, but it was all of the accusers that went away. "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." The Pharisees replied, "You are making those claims about yourself!" Exclamation point. They're a little upset about that, aren't they? "Such testimony is not valid," they said. Jesus told them, "These claims are valid, even though I make them about myself, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect, because I am not alone, The Father who sent me is with me. But our own law says that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other. Notice Father is capitalized. This is not an earthly Father, this is the heavenly Father, the eternal one, the Ancient of Days. Where is your Father? They asked. Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. But he was not arrested because his time had not yet come. Later, Jesus said to them again, I am going away. You will search for me, you will search for me, but will die in your sin. Let me read that over again. Jesus said to them, I am going away. You will search for me, but will die in your sin. You cannot come where I am going. Speaking to those who do not believe him. They're not following him, and therefore they will not end up where he is going. The people asked, is he planning to commit suicide? What does he mean, you cannot come where I am going? Jesus continued, you are from below. I am from above. You belong to this world. I do not. In fact, the world belongs to him. That is why I said that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am. That sound familiar? He is the great I am. In the burning bush, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? Tell them I am sent you. Jesus is making a clear, virtually clear, unmistakable statement here that he is God. You with me? Say amen. This isn't a Baptist church, but I grew up a Baptist, so I got some Baptist habits. This is why I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins. Who are you? They demanded. Jesus replied, the one I have always claimed to be, he said. I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but I won't, for I say only what I have heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful. But they still didn't understand what he was talking about. He was talking about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, making a prediction right there, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am He. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him. Do you always do what pleases him? I don't. I wish I did. But Jesus always did what pleased his heavenly Father. Then many who heard him say these things believed in him. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we are descendants of Abraham, they said. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean, you will be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father. Our father is Abraham, they declared. No, Jesus replied, for if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you are trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father. They replied, we aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father. Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me, because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I am saying? It's because you can't even hear me. Jesus speaking here from the mouth of God himself. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? And I think that's it. It's not moving. We've still got some verses to go. That's all right. CareNet is here. Wonderful. All right. Anyone who belongs to God listens to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God. Let me ask you a question. Do you listen to the words of God? Do you read the words of God? If you don't, well, read the Word of God. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God. If you are habitually, you are constantly in the habit of not reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, you need to pay attention to these words. If you don't because you're not interested, you've got a serious problem. A serious, as serious as it can possibly get, eternal problem. The people retorted, you Samaritan devil, didn't we say all along that you were possessed by a demon? No, Jesus said, I have no demon in me, for I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And though I have no wish to glorify myself, God is going to glorify me. He is the true judge. I tell you the truth. Anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. Your spirit will never die. The people said, now we know you are possessed by a demon. Even Abraham and the prophets died, but you say, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. Well, he's speaking of your spiritual life. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? They're asking Jesus, who do you think you are? Jesus answered, if I want glory for myself, it doesn't count. But it is my Father who will glorify me. You say he is our God. But you don't even know him. I know him. If I said otherwise, I would be as great a liar as you. But I do not know him, but I do know him and obey him. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. The people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you have seen Abraham? He wasn't even close to 50 years old. He was in his 30s. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am. Let that sink in. This is who we worship, the Ancient of Days, the forever and ever Son of God. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It took 15 minutes to read it to you out loud and fairly slowly at that. I want you to understand, and I demonstrate this occasionally here at Shiloh Chapel for a very simple reason. The Word of God is living and active. It is powerful. It is life-changing. And if you will open it up and but read it, maybe you have to read it out loud like I do because I have an attention deficit problem. Reading it out loud, even if it's all by myself, helps me. Reading it out loud to another human being, whether it be my poor victim wife or to a friend over the phone. Sometimes, because I've had some voiceover training and I want to see if I'm still any good at it, I will record it into my phone and listen back. Whatever it takes to get the Word of God into you, it is living and active. And that's what I am suggesting. Okay, it is time for me to stop talking because our guest speaker is here. And I would like to invite her up. Mary Pray, come on up. Don't forget to use the microphone. God bless you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me again. It seems that I have a hard time with communication in Shiloh Chapel, and I take all the blame for it. The first time, 2 weeks ago, I was at the wrong church, which since then the people that I've seen at the church, oh, it was good to see you, even if it was for a short time. And then today, I had assumed, and I don't know why, it was in my thoughts, that service started at 11. So instead of being here with you, we were playing cribbage with my grandkids, waiting for service to start. Be that as it may, thank you. I'm glad that my Christian brothers and sisters offer me a lot of grace. What I want to say to you is CareNet of Midcoast, Maine has been around for 21 years now, and your fellowship has been a big part of it. And I spoke about it last time when I said how, and I see this because I'm in the office at CareNet, I'm working directly with people at CareNet, but none of it would be possible without the 45 churches in our area that uplift CareNet every single day, you know? I send out a prayer and praise every month, and I know we have people praying for us. And probably one of the biggest things that has happened, and I'm leaving some of the brochures, some of you have heard about it, is over the COVID period when everything seemed to shut down, we were working at CareNet with a group of people meeting every other Sunday afternoon to have a home for single mothers. We were hoping it would be like more in the Midcoast area, but it's actually located up in Hebron because that's where God wanted us to be. He gave us a beautiful property up there. And for 3 years, you know, 1 year, what was it, with COVID shutdown, we were delivering diapers and wipes and doing phone counseling, but we weren't actually there very much. But we were always meeting either Zoom or at the center to see, you know, where God was going to lead us. God provided $175,000 through donations, one of them from a couple who, like they said, they'd been praying for 20 years for a home for single mothers. We have a mother that's on the board and who volunteers there now, who for 30 years, because she was a mother at 17, and wish she had had a place. And even my story follows in that vein, too, because I was between my sophomore and junior year of college when I found myself pregnant. And I remember thinking at the time, because I didn't know the father of my child very well, as I put it, if he turned out to be a real jerk, I was going to find a maternity home and go have my baby, because I realized I was raised in a very loving home with a mom and a dad and 8 brothers and sisters, and I know how important having a mom and a dad is for children. Well, he turned out not to be a jerk. We were married for 48 years. He passed away a few years ago. Not only did we have our daughter, but we went on to have 4 sons and 14 grandchildren to date. And 1, 2, 3, 4 of my grandchildren from my, we don't call it unplanned, because we know these pregnancies are not unplanned by God. We don't take God by surprise, but they are unexpected pregnancies in a person's life. So my daughter and her husband, who celebrated 27 years of marriage this year, they have 5 children, and I also have another 9 grandchildren from my 4 sons. So God has been very gracious and good to me. In the last 20 years, we have had over 1,400 client visits at CareNet, and some of them we only have one time. They'll come in for a pregnancy test and we don't know, you know, and others for an ultrasound, but then they don't come back. The people that we seem to really connect with are the people that stay for parenting classes. We have DHS and lawyers who will recommend dads who, you know, not married to the moms, but they want to have a relationship with their children, that they should come and take parenting classes. We also have 2 male mentors who will come in and work with the dads, because sometimes a guy is a lot more comfortable talking to another man than to a woman. But it's interesting, not knowing the end stories sometimes, and when we do hear the end stories, they can be such a blessing at times. I want to share one with you. We had a couple come in, they were actually married, and this was right around COVID time, and they were coming in for an ultrasound. And when somebody comes in for an ultrasound, we, who are at CareNet, there's usually at least 2 of us, 2, 3 of us, we're very happy. We'll say, congratulations, it's wonderful, you're having a baby, you know? And this couple already had 3 kids, and they were married, but they told us when we were congratulating them, you're the first people that have been positive about this. People here were having 4 kids, and they're like, well, don't you know how to use birth control? And, you know, they just were very negative. And they were very conflicted. It's like they weren't excited about having another baby themselves because they were young and starting out. But, you know, we were there. We were able to help them materially. And then everything shut down with COVID as far as, remember, getting to the hospital and all that. And I got a phone call from her on a Saturday morning, and she was having a miscarriage. And the hospital was like, well, you know, you have to stay home, basically. And it was her and her husband that dealt with this, their miscarriage. And she miscarried at 18 weeks. She miscarried a little girl. And she kept calling me that morning, and, you know, I was encouraging her, and they were told, well, the amniotic sac didn't break, so they said, well, just put it all in the freezer, and when we can, you know, get you in, we'll get you in. And so they did all that, and she said to me that day, she said, do you mind if I send you some pictures? And I said, oh, no, that's fine, you know, and their little girl was so perfectly formed, and they, after that, came to CareNet, and here's this child that they didn't want at first, and now they're grieving her death, and not only are they grieving her death, but they're grieving, feeling guilty about not wanting her in the first place. And so we were, you know, working with them, and they were getting through it, and she got pregnant again. And so I knew she was pregnant again, and she'd come in for some material aid. And again, this is kind of at the end of the COVID stuff. And I went over one time to their house because we were still delivering diapers and wipes, and they just had another little boy. So their daughter's in heaven. They now have 4 little boys. But after that, she wasn't coming in, and I kind of lost track of her for the last couple years. So I'm out at the Topsom Fair this year, and I see this couple, you know, different times with kids. And I'm like, oh, she looks so familiar to me. And I finally connect that it's this girl. And I go over and I say, oh, are you so-and-so? And she goes, yes, are you Mary Rose? She goes, I wasn't sure and I didn't want to come over and, you know, it would embarrass me. But they are doing so well. Their little boy is two, and as she told me, the three brothers may fight with each other, but everybody loves the baby. And they want to have more kids now. And I'm like, it is so amazing to me when I can see, when we are open to life, when we're willing to celebrate life, no matter what the circumstances. And let me tell you, so many of the circumstances that we see, if you didn't have a Christian worldview, if you didn't realize that we are made in the image of God and that God has a plan and a purpose for each of us, you can see why people are so negative nowadays, because so many of the people that come in are single moms and financially they're not doing good. And the reason Lifehouse got started was because we have homeless moms coming in, you know, testing positive and needing a place. So we right now up at Lifehouse, we just opened in July. We've already had one mom and one baby. And again, she didn't have a place to go, so we welcomed her there. And we're not the same 501c3, but we call ourselves sister organizations because CareNet is doing the parenting classes. CareNet's helping with material needs. CareNet's volunteers are helping up there too, but it's opened up a whole new side of the ministry for us because we were like, well, God, Hebron's kind of out there, you know, and yet you wouldn't believe all the Christians that have come out of the woods of Hebron and are so happy that we're there and they're so supportive that we're there. So I guess my word to you is hopefully I'll be on time the next time I come. All I can say is, you know, everything that happens at CareNet, because we're seeing it through the eyes of Christ, seeing it through how important people are, you know, every day is a blessing. Whether we're ministering to each other, we like to say we all live messy lives. Everybody that's there, whether you're a volunteer or whether you're coming in for classes or services, you know, God is there to say, I don't care where you are, what your circumstances are, I'm just loving you where you are. And I think we can all take that as a message of comfort. So thank you again for letting me talk about CareNet.
What's your name again?
Oh, I'm Mary Rose Prey, and I am the executive director. I started out as a volunteer. I became a client advocate. I got on the board, and now I'm serving as executive director. And I like to call it my happy place. I really am blessed every time I'm there. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. God bless you. Do we have a closing song, ministry team? I believe we do. We will close, and then you will all be released to go and enjoy the great day that God has made for us. This is the day that He has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you all for being here.